Have Nike SB Dunks lost a little bit of their luster? We're going to dive into that and some of the history of the eras of Nike SB, this time on Fire Footwear. Welcome back to Fire Footwear, everybody. As always, this is your host, Matt Freights, and I want to thank everybody for coming back to the show. And if you are brand new to the show, I want to say welcome from the outset. I appreciate everybody taking any sort of time to listen to this product and just engage with me about sneakers. It's something that I know that we all love. So if you're here, I know that you love sneakers and hopefully that you love this content. I want to talk about Nike SB this week. Last week, I talked about the idea, and maybe it's a little bit blasphemous, that maybe Jordan Brand and Nike, by extension, needed to think about when they were going to move on from Michael Jordan as an ambassador for Jordan Brand. I think that the influence that he has is sort of waning these days, and I wonder if maybe it's time to think about who is going to be the next ambassador for Jordans. Like, are we going to have a Jordan 65? And it's ironic, because I think that recently some people who have been on sneaker shopping, I think it was Triple H of WWE, said that maybe Travis Scott was more important to the brand than Michael Jordan was. And when I was thinking about that, I got to thinking about my favorite silhouette of all time, and that is the Nike SB Dunk Low. I love Dunk Highs as well, but Dunk Lows are my favorite. I think I have more of those than any other shoe in my collection, and it's because their history is steeped in so many different things than Jordan Brand. Jordan Brand started out as a concept of Michael Jordan creating this brand and creating this icon of what is now the Jordan line. And I said last week that the Jordan 1 through 14 have so many iconic silhouettes, and I think that people feel a certain way about them nostalgically. And if you think about Nike SB, Nike SB came along because Nike in the 80s, and I did an episode about this when this show was called Sneaker Love, and I did an episode about the Nike Dunk in general. And when the Nike Dunk debuted on the scene, it was a basketball shoe. But I think that the timing of when it came out and the similarity to the Jordan 1 and the Air Force 1 in some ways actually made it really difficult for that shoe to catch on as a basketball shoe. They did the Be True to Your School series, and it just didn't catch on in a global sense. I think it caught on at the colleges in which those school colors were represented, but we didn't see it catch. And then you kind of get into the 90s and the late 90s, and Nike SB started to percolate because another group of individuals and another group of creators, essentially, got their hands on these shoes and started to almost repurpose them. And that was skateboard culture. And skateboard culture and sneaker culture, in my opinion, had never really meshed. I think now we know that there are a lot of skateboarders, or were a lot of skateboarders, who for whom Jordans were actually very big in their rotation. And so I was thinking about today's sneaker consumer, and I think that today's sneaker consumer is conditioned to want Jordans that predate them, just again, because there are so many models that are being retroed. I think that the cool factor for Jordan still does have a little bit of relevance, even though I think it may be waning a little bit. I wonder if young people are into Jordans because their parents are into Jordans, or maybe an older sibling or something. But Nike SBs have had a similar influence, it's just been a little bit of a shorter period. And I think very similar to Jordans, Nike SBs, and I'm thinking about Nike SB Dunks specifically, I think that their influence has waned as well. But I think it's important for us to, if we're gonna make that claim, go back and look at the history of it. Let's remember, these started, and I'm talking about Dunks as a basketball shoe. And it wasn't until the failure of it and the pickup by a guy named Sandy Boddicker, to which Nike SB actually started to become an entity. And skateboarding culture started to become part of Nike's brand and part of Nike's runway, to the point that we saw in 2002, the start of what I consider the heyday of Nike SBs and Nike SB Dunks. And the advent of Nike SB saw this brand bring in famed skaters within this new community that was being introduced. And it's not too dissimilar from how Nike adopted Jordans and therefore adopted basketball culture, because basketball shoes and just basketball in general was not really part of Nike's roadmap at the time. And so Sandy Boddicker coming in, bringing in these skateboarders, these voices of a culture that had been not really represented in the sneaker game before, it started a revolution, in my opinion. And the early days of Nike SB are very similar, in my opinion, to the early days of sneaker culture. I think that a lot of people identified with what Michael Jordan was all about and therefore what Jordan Brand was all about. And as sneaker culture has adapted and as sneaker culture has grown so much, it has now included so many different people from all walks of life. And I think that Nike SBs and Dunks specifically have been very, very similar, because today, not only skateboarders wear Nike SB Dunks. I don't skateboard and I wear them. So I think that they appeal to a large mass of people. But in order for that to happen, there has to be a point zero. There has to be almost a point in time that allows for Nike SB Dunks to become so popular. And if you go back and look, Nike SB now has had so many releases over the decades now that they now have what they call eras. And not all of these eras are seen the same way as time has passed, but all of these eras have some semblance of importance to the culture. And if you start looking all the way back to now, which is what we're gonna do, you start to realize that there was a period of time in which the creativity and really the creative juices were flowing at a much higher rate. And I kind of said the same thing about Jordans, that once Michael Jordan retired for real, I think that the designers, even though they brought in Tinker Hatfield, didn't or weren't able to capture the magic that was the original Jordan 1 through 14. And I think it's because the man who was behind that shoe, who really made that shoe, wasn't playing anymore. And as Nike SB has gotten larger, less and less skateboarders have become a part of it, and they've expanded to so many different people. And so we're gonna go through all of these, and we're gonna start all the way at the top. And the first era that we're gonna go into, not the pre-SB era, there are, if you go to Nike.com or NikeSB.com and go to their vault section, you will see a section called pre-SB. We're not gonna get into that because there were no Dunks released. But March of 2002 is the start of the Orange Box era, and this went all the way through December of 2002. So not even a full calendar year's time. But this is where you saw those original four skateboarders come in, Supa, Mulder, Gino, and Reese, and they gave their own adaptations and their own designs to the Nike SB Dunk Low. But they weren't the first. The alphanumeric Lightning was the first one. It was a redesigned dunk with a fat tongue, and that's something that we know now is a staple of Nike SB Dunks. And it also had an embossed side panel logo, which is something you see a lot on SB Dunks, especially when they are designed by a skate shop or there's influence of a skate shop or something like that. And I think that that is the start of a lot of the things that we see today. And much like Jordans and much like a lot of the designs you see today, they have an influence somewhere, and this is where that start came from. Also in this era, you saw the first ever SB Dunk High. Now, there is not much of a difference between the regular Dunk High and an SB Dunk High outside of a little bit of padding and a little bit of a different tongue, but Paul Brown was the first person to give a design to the SB Dunk High, and you saw it in this era. Another big moment in this era was the inclusion of Supreme, which was a growing streetwear brand back then. And they did something that at the time was probably almost blasphemous, but they got a blessing from Jordan Brand to do this. And they took the famous elephant print, the iconic elephant print off the Jordan 3, and put it on a Dunk Low. And this Dunk Low collaboration really spoke to Supreme and its New York ties. And we know Supreme now is huge in the culture. They have been since then. And this era really started things off in that way. And you saw the original designers, you saw the original skateboarders, and Nike SB started to become molded to skateboarders specifically. And I think that that's really important. Moving on from January 2003 until September of 2004, this is a long era. This is the Silver Box era. And some of these that are included in here are some of the most sought after and a lot of revered ones. You had the Bisons. You had the Paris, which were designed by a Parisian artist, and they are few and far between. It is very, very hard to get them. You have to get them in an auction. They are repped, but not very well. And so this is one of the most coveted unicorns in Nike SB history. You also had what is called the Classic Greens, but these are colloquially called the Heinekens, and these are very, very popular. They even did sort of a retro GR release of these, but not quite the same. You also saw the Supreme Highs, which had those stars on the side panel. You had the Croc print. You had the Bucks, which was after the Milwaukee Bucks, the Londons. There was also an Air Max recently, I think it was like 5 years ago, that came out that was supposed to mimic this design. With the Thames River on the side, it was gray, just like the clouds and the weather. That's an iconic one, and I think even Travis Scott wore that. The Baroque Browns, also known as the Jedis. These are another one in the very, very highly coveted line of Nike SB Dunks. And this was kind of sort of looking like Yoda from Star Wars. Very popular. The charities, which are now known as the eBays, and we'll get to that a little bit later, they inspired that collaboration. The Calis, which are really after the California flag, and the Tweeds, which is one of my favorite Dunk Lows. So the Silverbox era was full with a ton of things that represented where these skaters were from, all of these brands, and just it started to really grow the brand in terms of national. The Pink Box era, in my opinion, is widely seen as the best era, and that is September of 2004 to December of 2005. You had the Metacom, which was inspired by Bear Bricks, which are something that are very popular among sneaker collectors. The Dunkles, one of my grails, if not my own biggest personal grail, that Futura collab. The pink, the black, just all of that splatter print. It is just so beautiful. The Forbes Hunters, which is another grail of mine with that amazing camo print, the orange. It's just an iconic look. The Ray Guns, the Roswell Ray Guns, which were a fictional ABA team, and it was also Area 51 inspired. There was a white and a black colorway. Those are iconic as well. And this one right here pretty much put sneaker culture on the map, and I did an entire episode about this man, but these are the Staple Pigeons, the OGs. The riots outside of that release, it made the front page of the New York Post, and it really gave sneaker culture this place in pop culture forever. That changed everything. The Stussy Cherry. Stussy is a very big streetwear brand in sneaker culture, and it was back then. The cherries, which are supposed to be mimicking Neapolitan ice cream, a classic colorway of the Nike Dunk Low. The Diamond Supply Companies, we call those the Tiffany's nowadays, one of the best dunks ever with that Tiffany green or Tiffany blue, that croc print. My goodness, that was an amazing, amazing colorway. The Be True to Your School Dunk High Pack, which is giving an homage or paying homage to the original releases of the Nike Dunk with the Be True to Your School series back in the day, mimicking some of those colors from, I think it was like Michigan, I think it was Michigan State. So there was a lot of nods in that collection, and it was just in a dunk high. The De La Soul Low and High, it was the first ever rapper collab, and that's something that is iconic nowadays, and the Puss Head One. So the Pink Box era was just chock full of some of the best dunks ever. We moved on, February 2006 to September of 2007. This is actually one of the more forgotten eras. This is the Black Box era. You saw the Pele and Hawaii collaboration, the first ever Hawaii-inspired dunk, which set the tone for Hawaii's place in sneaker culture from then on. The Three Bears pack. One of my favorite SB packs ever. The Mama Bear, the Papa Bear, the Baby Bear. You had the low, the mid, the high, all of the bear fur on the side of it. It was just, it's iconic. It's just wonderful. The Dia de los Muertos, selling that famed Mexican holiday. Definitely seen some reissues of that since then. The MF Doom. This is probably one of the most popular dunk highs ever. They are starting to rep it a lot more now. And again, it was designed by a rapper of the same name, but it was just an iconic look, and it really captured what he was all about and what his music is all about. The Gold Box era follows, October 2007 to March of 2009. This is when the era started to get a little bit longer incrementally. However, there weren't a lot of shoes that were released, but the ones that stand out are the Freddies. Now, this is one of the most coveted samples of all time. It actually never got released in terms of a large-scale release. It's repped so often today, and that's why whenever you see it at one of these sneaker cons, you have to know that it's fake because they barely made any of the samples. The Concepts Red Lobster. Now, the Lobster series is huge. This was the first one. The premium packaging came with a lobster trap. I mean, that is just incredible. It's an incredible shoe. And let's not forget, when we talk about coveted and expensive in the resale market dunks, the What the Dunks, another grail amongst dunk heads, and it is definitely a grail for me, although I know that if I got it, I would only be able to collect it, not be able to pull it off with my outfit. Then we move on to another revered era, and that is the Blue Box era, April 2009 to June of 2012. Not only some iconic releases in here, but some new additions that are going to last and stand the test of time. The Space Jam Lows, which were designed after the Space Jam Jordan 11s. The Cheech and Chong High. Eric Kostin gets into the game with his high and his low. He now is a staple in the Nike SB world. The Skunk Dunks, 420 inspired. That started what is now a yearly tradition. The Blue Lobsters, building on the Concepts Red Lobster with special packaging here. An amazing shoe, one of my favorite dunks of all time. And a friends and family coveted Yellow Lobster. So this had a lot of shoes to go after, but it also was one of the longest eras and has some of the most iconic shoes in it. Then we move July 2012 to November of 2013. The Tape Box era, which was really the start of the decline of SB Dunks, in my opinion. There are two that really stand out in this era despite its length. The Supreme Red Cement, which was celebrating 10 years since the original SB that we talked about, and the Pusshead 2, which was building on the Pusshead 1, which had come out two eras prior. Moving on to the Teal Box, this is easily the longest era, and also, in my opinion, it's one of the worst, where they started to focus on other models than just the SB Dunk, which isn't a bad thing. But if you go look at this, there's a lot of reimagined collabs, there's a lot of nods to popular collabs of the past, not a lot of true ingenuity and true inspiration. You had an era that felt lazy, it felt uninspired. Reimagined Roswell ray guns, both black and white colorway. This isn't new, it's just a reimagining of it. Supreme Dunk Lows, which had jewel swooshes, which are very much meh. The Para Dunk, which was actually really cool. That is a streetwear shop in Paris, and I think that's a great, great look. It was white with a multicolored swoosh, which was pretty awesome. Green and Purple Lobsters. While these are nice shoes, they're just more of the same that we have seen before. The reimagined Diamond Supply Company, the white and black leather. There was also a Friends and Family Canary. Really awesome because that croc print went all the way around. It was black, it was white, they had the silver swoosh that you could pull off. But again, it's not truly imaginative because it's not new. The staple Black Pigeon, which again, building on something from the past. The Box Era Dunks, which was also commemorating previous Dunk eras. You had the Pink Box, you had the Black Box, and so forth. And then of course you had Eyeshad Wear, which is his first Dunk here. Very, very similar to the Kostin Lowe's though. I didn't really see much of a difference. But if you're a big fan of him, then this was the shoe for you. And I think what you're seeing now is we're moving away from originality and moving to things that are a nod to the past, because I think we're running out of ideas and inspiration. And I don't know if it's because of people leaving and maybe the original intent of Nike SB is starting to fade because of new people in the culture, but this is just my opinion. And then I think the resurgence started to happen in January of 2020, and that was the Stripe Box era. This went all the way until March of 2023, so a little bit over a year ago. And this, again, really saw a lot of nods to the past, but it saw some really good new ones. I talked about the Charity Dunks before, and the eBays were an homage to that because they were an homage to the fact that that one pair or a pair of them was sold for really high on eBay, and the person cut them up and was wearing them, so that was to pay homage there. Another addition to the Lobster series with the orange lobsters from Concepts. Again, I feel like this was a lazy addition. It's just an easy thing to do. Let's take something that's worked and put a new color on it. You did see some new ones though. The Polaroids, which I really, really like, which pays homage to the 80s Polaroid brand. The Mummies, those were almost sneaker of the year, I think, in 2021. The Strawberries, which is another 420 shoe. That one's really repped or was repped at the time, pretty cool. The Para 2021, which was a more colorful version of their previous Dunk. Again, paying homage to their brand, but it's not necessarily breaking the mold. The What the Pauls, which was a nod to all of the Paul Rodriguez designs over the years. They're very similar to the What the Dunks, but not quite because it's just specific to him. The Hawaii Highs, which were another 420 inspired shoe. I love the peel away Aloha shirt material, which also showed grass, which obviously was supposed to look like pot under there. That's another really cool one. Sean Cliver and Strange Love getting into the game with the first, with the Strange Loves, the red ones that look like kind of Valentine's Day with all those materials. And again, that side panel logo we talked about earlier. And then of course there were the Sean Cliver Ices, I think they were called, which were winter or Christmas inspired. Awesome materials, awesome designs, and that was another great, great addition in this era. You had the Mallards, or the Turduncans as they were called. And while those are hard to pull off all the time, looking like a mallard and being really synonymous with Thanksgiving or fall time, really awesome. The Civilis, I remember those were super, super hot and they were heat sensitive. So they looked all black, but if you put heat on them, they started to almost look like a Doppler radar or something like that. Really, really cool. The Grateful Dead collection, which were like the Grateful Dead bear, just in different colors. To me, that was very similar to the Three Bears pack, so not really ingenious, but they sold really well. The Reverse Skunks, taking the originals and just flipping the color paneling. The Travis Scott SBs, I think, were amazing. That was a really, really hot shoe. That's when I think Travis Scott was in his heyday in terms of designing. And we already talked about the Strange Loves earlier, and that really started in 2020. So this was a really, really great era. And that brings us to now, which is called the Sail Box era. And we're not going to go over the shoes in that era because I think the era is unfinished. So it's difficult, in my opinion, to really get an idea. But what I can tell you is since the Sail Box era started, I haven't felt truly compelled by a great number of SB Dunks. And I think the reason is the original intent of Nike SB, the original design or the original inspiration of how all these Dunk collaborations came about has just changed. And I think it's changed because the world has changed. sneaker culture has changed. And I'm not inspired by them, but it doesn't mean that you can't be inspired by them. But right now, I think we are going through another lull in designs and creativity. And you could say that about a lot of shoes, but it pains me to say it about the Nike SB Dunk. And also, Nike SB is focusing on a lot of different silhouettes. You could make the argument that the Nike SB Jordan 4 is probably the most popular shoe that they have worked on in the last 6 or 7 years. It's a great shoe. They're going to continue to do it with more colorways, and I think that's just the changing of the tide. They're trying new things. They're getting away from the Dunk. Skateboard culture has changed. No longer is it a culture of people who feel like they don't have a voice. Now it's a lot more mainstream. It's a lot more popular. And so I really believe that Nike SB is just going in a different direction. And very similar to Jordan Brand, you kind of have to wonder, is Nike SB really at a point where they shouldn't be relying on the SB Dunk anymore? Maybe they should be relying on something new. Maybe they should be trying to bring in new skateboarders with new ideas and really give some skateboarders that are not famous, but in the culture, give them an opinion, give them the ability to design things. Much like I said about Jordans and much like I said about sneakers, we need more real sneakerhead opinions. And I think that that would actually reinvigorate the brand and bring Nike SB back to where it was when it started. And now let's get to the release of the week. Release of the week, where I like to highlight a shoe that has caught my eye. It's not always hype. Sometimes it is. It's just a shoe that I think you should know about. We are going to go super hype this week because I have to highlight this shoe, and that is the Travis Scott Jordan Jumpman Jack. It releases on April 30th for $200. It's a new silhouette design by Travis Scott, although I would argue that it's not all that new. The strap, the outsole, the reverse swoosh, none of that is really new. We've seen that on previous silhouettes before, but you know why I'm highlighting it? Because it's a brand new silhouette and it is Travis Scott trying to do something new than just a Jordan 1 Low. So if you want a Travis Scott shoe in your collection, this one's going to be really hard to get. I think the resale is going to be really high on this until they oversaturate the market. Get out there, try to get it, and add it to your collection. How do you feel about SB Dunks? What era is your favorite, and do you think that they need to be reinvigorated in terms of design? Get in touch with the show. At Fire Footwear Pod is the handle on Instagram. We're on Facebook. Search Fire Footwear, a sneaker podcast. TikTok, at Fire Footwear Pod. If you want to watch videos on YouTube, search Fire Footwear, a sneaker podcast with Matty Ice. And as always, you can email the show with comments, questions, whatever, firefootwearpod@gmail.com. Also, please support the Matty Ice Media Network, mattyicemedia.com, for all the other podcasts that we have, such as Iceman and Coach and Political Football. I hope this finds everybody well, fam. I hope this finds everybody safe. Thank you for taking out the time, and I will talk to you next week. This is Fire Footwear. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on Fire Footwear are those of Matt Freights and his guest, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Fire Footwear is exclusively owned by Matt Freights and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.